The SCLP's Alex Atwood is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So you lot, the SCLP, let me just get this right. You're supporting the strike, right?
I think the scale of what this budget has done to Northern Ireland society, I think what the scale of London austerity has done to Northern Ireland over the last 4 or 5 years, and more of the same if the Tories get elected, which is touch and go at the moment. I think all of that means that people, working people, people in low pay, part-time workers, so many of our female workers, you're right, it is time to stand up and say, hold on a second.
It's just farcical. This is just farcical this morning, isn't it? And it's politicking from people like you, Alex Atwood. Can I remind you, you're part of the government. You agree with the Stormont House agreement that they're striking against. And here you are today trying to have your cake, swallow it and enjoy it at the same time. Come on. For goodness sake, be honest with the people.
But Stephen, probably not for the first time and presumably not also for the last time. We, as you know, because I've been on your programme with John O'Dowd, as you will recall, opposed this budget, not just the draft budget, which Martin McGuinness said was
the Stormont House agreement.
Let's move back to that in a second. This is about a lot more than the Stormont House agreement. It's also about the budget, which was a bad budget, which the SDLP opposed in draft form before Christmas, when Martin McGuinness said it was the best deal possible, and which we continue to oppose subsequently with the support of the Ulster Unionist Alliance in the executive and in the chamber, because it was a bad budget. And a lot of the consequences of this bad budget are now beginning to...
No. We're not getting sidetracked into the budget, because the advertisement that the unions have taken out, the headline on it, Stormont House is no deal. Why the trade unions disagree with this agreement, the Stormont House agreement, your agreement, the agreement that you agree with. And here you are on the radio this morning trying to side with the unions, trying to the perception that you're siding with the ordinary working man that's out striking. They're striking against you and your party and your party's part in this agreement.
Well, a number of things. First of all, we have said that the good bits of the Stormont House Agreement will implement fully and faithfully, and the bad bits will try to rectify. What did Mark H. Durkin submit to the...
The Stormont House Agreement. No, that's also not true. That is not true, Alex Atwood, because the whole point of that agreement is it is to be implemented in full. So you will not implement parts of it and then not implement other parts of it, Alex. You know that.
We've been very... I'm surprised you're saying that, Stephen, because I've been on your show and other people from the party have been on your show since the day and hour that Stormont House was signed, and our line has been very clear. We will fully and faithfully implement that which we think is strong, and we'll try to remedy and rectify that which is weak.
Okay,
that's what we've been doing for the last...
All right, provide me with clarity, because this is a very important question I'm about to ask you. Will you honour the Stormont House agreement in its totality?
We will fully and faithfully implement that which is good, and we'll try to remedy that which is...
No, that's not the question. The question is, will you honour the Stormont House agreement in its totality?
What do you think we've been doing on welfare for the last 2 months, Stephen? We have taken that which is good in Stormont House about welfare and tried to implement it, and at the same time try to take further action,
Alex,
to reduce...
Alex, now's the time for clarity. The whole point of an agreement, the whole point, Alex Atwood, of all of the parties sitting around a table and getting an agreement was that they've had to compromise. You've all had to compromise with each other, and there will be parts of that agreement, different parts of the agreement, that different parties won't like for different reasons, which is why you all come up with an agreement, which is why you can't pick and choose the bits of the agreement you're going to implement and others that you're not, or else it's not an agreement. So therefore, this question is very important. Is the SDLP's position this morning that you will honour the Stormont House agreement in its totality?
So I don't understand why you can't hear the answer that I'm giving, which has been the answer to this question.
Try yes or no.
On every occasion, Stephen, since the day and hour that Stormont House went public. And that is, if there are good things in the budget, or in Stormont House, For example, that there might be a more comprehensive way for dealing with the past, we will implement that. But if there are bad things or things that are not so strong, for example, not having a proper process of truth and accountability when it comes to the actions of the state and of terror organisations over the last 40, 50 years, we will try to improve that. Otherwise, Stephen...
And if you can't improve it, if you can't improve it...
We're letting down the people...
If you cannot improve it, will you implement... Will you honour the agreement?
Sorry, I missed that question.
If you cannot improve it, will you still honour the agreement in its totality?
Well, we will work to make good that which is weak. That's what we've been doing.
You can't say yes, can you?
Well,
you cannot say yes. So here we have Sinn Féin. We have this key message from Martin McGuinness, who came out and said that there was a fundamental disagreement on what was actually agreed. And now what is crystal clear this morning, Alex Atwood, is that you cannot give a public assurance that the SDLP will honour the agreement that you signed in its totality. You cannot do it. So please provide either one word, yes or no, to the following question. I understand you may try to get consensus to improve that agreement, but if you do not, despite your best efforts, will the SDLP give a public promise this morning that you will honour the Stormont House Agreement in its totality? Yes or no?
And I refer, Stephen...
Yes or no?
..to all my previous answers.
Yes or no?
Any other approach... Let me put it this way.
Yes or no?
During the course of the last 2 days, Stephen... During the course of
the public deserve better than this, Alex Atwood, because I'll tell you what, the administrations in Stormont are in jeopardy through all of this. And the public deserve a very clear answer from each political party. They deserve you to provide clarity and to say yes or no to the following question. Will the SDLP honour the Stormont House Agreement in its totality?
So what have we done, Stephen? And please now give an opportunity for your question to be answered.
Yes or no?
So that people can understand. What have we done on one aspect of Stormont House since the agreement was announced in December? We have tried to improve those elements that create risk and pain for people on welfare in Northern Ireland. I spoke in the chamber in the assembly for hours, as did my colleagues, as did the Green Party, in an effort to say that as far as Stormont went, we should go further. And we would be letting down people in Northern Ireland if we didn't say that as far as Stormont House went, we can still go further. And therefore, in the conversations that we have around the table at party leaders' meetings, for example, for dealing with the past, we make an argument that we maximise how you implement Stormont House order to ensure, for example, that when you deal with the past, when it comes to truth and accountability, when it comes to needs and victims, we don't go for the lowest common denominator, we go for a maximum outcome.
I get all that.
And that'll be the approach. It's a strong approach.
So I get all that, Alex. And that is logical. And I think everybody listening to this program can understand that. Essentially what you're saying is you're going to try to improve upon the agreement that was done. That's essentially what you're saying. Okay?
And that's the position. So the answer to your question is, yes, that's what we will be doing.
Because you will be improving. Hold on a minute. Clever political speak.
On welfare.
You haven't answered my question, despite you slipping in the words there in answer to your question. Because my question is not, are you going to try to improve upon the agreement? My question is, after you've tried to improve upon the agreement, are you prepared, as that agreement currently stands today, as the agreement that you signed up to stands, are you prepared to implement it in its totality?
So I refer, Stephen, to what the party announced after Stormont House in terms of the Stormont House and Stormont Castle proposals. And we haven't wavered one iota from that initial statement, and it remains the same now 10 or 12 years.
I wonder, Alex.
And it is, it is,
I actually wonder how much of the public think that there's an agreement at all here. I really, really do. Well, because the DUP have a different interpretation than Sinn Féin of an agreement, and you're not able to tell the public this morning that you're even going to honour it. What about the 20,000 job cuts? Do you hold Sinn Féin's position in this or the DUP's position in this? What's your interpretation of the 20,000 public sector job cuts? Do you support that?
So let's deal with that and deal with that very clearly. And I would have given the answer to this 5 minutes ago if you'd let me finish the answer at that time. Mark H. Durkin, who's our only minister in the executive, presented a paper to the executive about what the shape of voluntary redundancies might look like over the next number of years. And this was the answer. And any other approach than the one that we have outlined and I'm now going to confirm would be reckless. And this is with the approach that we adopted. One, that any redundancy scheme or voluntary severance scheme had to be and had only to be voluntary. And the reason why we put down that marker was that there were some hints that from one or two other people that in the event that there wasn't enough people coming forward, then there might be a compulsory scheme. Secondly, we said that when it comes to any voluntary scheme, assessments had to be made, rigorous assessments had to be made about whether, for example, frontline services were going to be affected, whether, as a consequence of any voluntary scheme, regional imbalance in terms of work, of jobs in Northern Ireland, say between the Greater Belfast area and the rest of Northern Ireland or Derry in the northwest, that there needed to make sure that we didn't have, as a consequence of a voluntary scheme, further imbalance. We also said, and this is very critical, that if in 2016, following a Tory re-election in London, we have a referendum that sees Northern Ireland and Britain getting out of the European Union, and obviously in those changed circumstances, you would have to reconsider any of your economic policies, including the issue of voluntary redundancy. So the principle of voluntary redundancy we support. When I was DOE minister, I ran an early retirement scheme.
Yeah, okay, and that's I'm slightly lost now, to be honest, because my question was, do you support the figure of 20,000 posts over the next 4 years? Do you acknowledge that that's the figure? Because Sinn Féin are saying they do not acknowledge that.
That figure has been referred to, but what the figure might be...
Is that your target that you support?
Our target is that we have a voluntary scheme. That scheme is now gone live. And when you run that scheme, you measure how many people might or might not go based upon a whole series of criteria, including, is it voluntary? Are you protecting frontline services? Are you ensuring that there's not further regional imbalance in terms of economic development?
But does the SDLP support...
In the event that Britain...
My goodness, Alex, sometimes I wonder why I get stressed. Does the SDLP support the ambition to achieve 20,000 public sector job cuts over the next 4 years?
So let me repeat. There's a scheme gone live. Let's see how many people apply for it.
Is there any chance this morning, as a human being, what happens to politicians when you suddenly become a politician? Is there any, is there any chance of saying yes or no? Does the SDLP support the ambition of, through a voluntary redundancy scheme, trying to find 20,000 post closures over the next 4 years?
So let me go back, Stephen. Again, I am.
Do you think this makes you popular with the public? Do you actually think heading towards an election, Alex? Do you think, sir, heading towards an election, this makes you sound credible as a candidate? Do you think this is what the public want from our politicians? That when you're asked a question on behalf of the public, you refuse to say yes or no?
So what our public want, what my constituents want, is not to give simplistic answers to issues that affect the quality of their lives and the future of their family and the security of their homes. That's what you want, Stephen. You want these simplistic answers to very complex questions.
It's not complex.
Stephen, because
the submission that was given to David Cameron was for 20,000 posts, Alex.
Practice is going to be the critical issue. So if, as a consequence, Stephen, let's be very clear, if as a consequence that if there were 10,000 voluntary redundancies and that began to adversely impact upon frontline services, then we would say slow down, show more caution, be more vigilant, because you cannot have a situation where, whatever the scale of voluntary retirements might be, that there is such an adverse impact upon frontline services. Similarly, if at any stage after 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 voluntary severance, you suddenly began to appreciate that there was such a disproportionate impact upon regional economic growth in Northern Ireland, of course you would say to people, now, hold on a second, let's see how this...
Which brings me back, Alex, to wondering what on earth this Stormont House Agreement is. Because, and this is the reason why I'm banging on about this now, there is a reference to £700 million in the Stormont House Agreement that your party has signed up to. And that £700 million is to fund 20,000 voluntary post-closures over the next 4 years. The five executive party submission to the government during the recent Stormont House negotiations, Alex, you're one of those parties. It outlined an agreement to reduce the public sector workforce in Northern Ireland by 20,000 posts. Who said that? Simon Hamilton, in the Assembly on the 19th of January. So he is telling the British government that there is an all-five-party agreement to reduce the Northern Ireland public sector by 20,000 posts over the next 4 years. And what are you saying this morning? You're saying there's not.
So
how are you all sitting around a table, walking out, telling the public there's an agreement when there clearly isn't?
Well, what we said, which clearly this morning you're not hearing very clearly, is that we'll implement that which is strong and try to rectify that which is weak.
That means nothing.
Let me put it this way.
That's not an agreement. An agreement's about detail.
Is any minister in any government department or any political party saying that come what may, we're going to have 20,000 redundancies, come what may?
Yes.
That's where you and I, or maybe us and other parties,
The DUP are saying it's a firm plan. The Finance Minister, Simon Hamilton, I've got the quote here. The Finance Minister, Simon Hamilton, in the Assembly, I've got the date, on the 19th of January, told the Assembly that the submission to Her Majesty's Government was that there was an agreement with all five parties, that includes the SDLP, to reduce the public sector workforce in Northern Ireland by 20,000 posts over the next 4 years through a combination of measures such as voluntary exit scheme and recruitment freezes. Now, he has stated that on the record to the Assembly. Are you saying he's mistaken?
And what I'm saying is... Stephen Hamilton will have to answer for himself. But is anybody saying that whatever happens, this is what we're going to do? When there may be such an impact upon frontline services, such an impact upon regional employment, such an impact upon our economy in the event that in 2016 a catastrophic scenario arises if Britain and Northern Ireland decide to withdraw from Europe. So all of those issues, any mature politician and responsible government will say that whilst there will be a voluntary scheme which we support, and as I say, I ran one when I was DOE minister because I saw opportunities for leaving people go from public service who wanted to leave and have renewal in the public service as a consequence without impacting upon frontline services. The answer, therefore, is you will make assessments as the scheme rolls out. But anybody who thinks that dogmatically, come what may, whatever the circumstances, we are just going to drive forward and have 20,000 redundancies without fully assessing all the impacts now, in the future, and on a rolling basis, But I don't think that's responsible leadership and good government.
You are an
answer, and it's the right one.
You are an MLA, aren't you?
Yes.
That's the first yes I've got today. Thank you very much, Alex Atwood.